And welcome to our program. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And you're speaking with a man who has been, shall we say, newly anointed by my guest. She is in studio with us today. She's the author of The Sacred Art of Anointing. We're going to be talking about rituals and ceremonies and celebrations and basically allowing ourselves to get in a frame of mind that is more conducive, if you will, getting in touch with more of those new ideas and new concepts and new ways of thinking and feeling. And I want to welcome Allison Stillman to our program. You have numerous titles, as it were, but it's good to have you in the program with all of them.
Thank you so much, Richard, and thank you for having me on your show today. And happy Valentine's Day to all those listeners
yes,
out there.
Yes,
happy Valentine's Day to you.
Well, thank you, and to you and yours.
Thank you.
Your husband is out in the lobby and waiting to actually hear this program, because we are actually preparing this broadcast for Valentine's Day, and I thought it was kind of appropriate because a lot of folks are now considering new ways of celebrating Valentine's Day because of a lot of the outer events that are happening. We won't go into those here. We don't usually on this program. And so they're looking for new and creative ways of celebrating the Day of Love, although we would like to see it happening every day if we could, but we've set this one day aside and we sort of accept that as that one day of love in particular for our significant other, to show how much we really truly care. And you have a number of different ways of doing that, of showing people how to get in touch with not only their partner, but even with themselves, which is probably the first best relationship that there is.
Absolutely. I think it all starts right there. If you don't have a full, big, open heart, how can you possibly give it away to anyone else? So I think the biggest task before all of us, particularly in this day and age, is to get more in touch with our hearts, to fill ourselves up with love, and then express it to our family, our loved ones, our friends, and to the world.
And we're going to talk about a lot of these different ways of doing that through various rituals and ceremonies that then sort of become traditions that we've sort of lost over the years in the West, here in the United States, that if you've moved here from another country, you bring those with you. But most of us, the majority of us, were born here. And, you know, yeah, we have the birthdays and we have the federal holidays and we have the Thanksgiving and the Christmas and the New Year's and so forth and Valentine's Day. But there are so many big gaps between those.
That's true.
And some that aren't really that meaningful to us. We just can't seem to click. I mean, there are people who are bah humbug for Christmas, you know, and I'm not going to my family's house for Thanksgiving. I'll go down to the local diner, you know, and be done with it and so forth.
Right.
We're talking about creating something new here. Now, before we take our break, you anointed me, and I would like you to explain a little bit about that as well as the fragrance or the essential oil.
I'd be happy to. I anointed your third eye, the area between your brows, which is traditionally an area that is stimulated to induce more intuitive, more clairvoyant aspects of ourselves. And I used a particular oil called frankincense, which most everybody has heard of. I'm sure the three wise men brought frankincense, gold, and myrrh to baby Jesus in the manger. Well, frankincense is an oil. Boswellia carteri is its actual botanical name. And it's an oil, this particular one is from Oman. And frankincense is an amazing plant in and of itself. It's been grown for thousands of years. It's been traded. It's been worth more its weight in gold because of its deeply spiritual properties. It has the ability to take you into altered states of awareness. It's also been used in the church quite often to fragrance the church, to prepare parishioners for an altered state of reality so that when they receive the sermon or the blessing or confirmation or whatever it is that they're experiencing in the church, they go into a deeply religious and spiritual state of awareness. This particular type of frankincense is grown in the Middle East, particularly in Yemen and Oman. And the trees have to grow for quite a long time, number of years. And the trees are actually passed down from generation to generation. Hmm. So that the fathers take care of the plant, then they pass it down to the son and so on, and has been for thousands of years. They're very prized. They're very taken care of. And what happens is, for frankincense, you go out and you score the trunk of the tree, and it bleeds these resin tears. And you take the tears and you distill them in a steam distillation unit, and you get the frankincense oil. And that's what I used on you this afternoon. And I think it'd be fun for you to share with the listeners what your experience was when I anointed you with it.
Well, I will do that when we come back from our break, and we'll have an opportunity to go into many of the other oils and other anointings, the ceremonies and
Perfect.
Rituals and so forth, and how it impacts you, how it changes you. And I don't know if you have them lined up out the door and you're doing this process, and maybe the last person is getting something so profound, more so maybe than the first person who comes in the door, if that were to be the way it was done. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to be coming back. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. You can check out the website, richarddugan.com. That's Richard Dugan, that's DUGAN.com. Stay with us. There's more Tell Me Your Story coming up. And we are flesh and blood, and we are working together here on Tell Me Your Story to understand one another. I look at it as we're all looking at the same event in the center of a circle, and as we choose to move to different points along that circle, we get a different perspective, and that's what we're here, sharing those different perspectives, broadening our horizons. I mean, isn't that what we were told, Allison, as kids growing up? Would you please go to the library and read something and broaden your horizons, or, you know, take a class and broaden your horizons?
But you can't broaden them too far because you got to fit into the box.
Oh, there's that box again.
That's what we're doing. We're those box busters.
And sadly, we do, this program is sort of in a box in as much as we're limited to a certain amount of time, at least on the broadcast. But who knows? We may end up, you know, elongating it on the internet or in some other format, or maybe have some kind of a public forum. We may get together and share ideas with an audience and that type of thing, or a gathering. I'd rather not have an audience, but I'd rather have people come and participate and share and exchange ideas as well. Now, you had asked me to share my experiences when I was being anointed, and I have experienced a number of, I'll call them anointings. I remember going to a revival in Phoenix, and I was anointed with oil, and it was very interesting because the reverend, this Christian pastor, this is what he does. This is sort of his thing, and anointing people with oil, I seem to remember a lot was used, it was the music was playing, and people were with their hands raised and waving and so forth. And I guess at that time I didn't see, I didn't feel any great or profound change. But you had me inhale and breathe the frankincense, and just inhale and breathe the aroma, the fragrance, which was familiar to me, being born and raised Catholic, and that's what they used in the churches.
That's correct.
And so there was sort of a calming and peaceful and, again, familiar aspect to the fragrance.
Well, and the reason I had you smell it is that there's a gland in the brain that stores memory called the amygdala, and the only way to access that gland is through the sense of smell. So by smelling it, that sense of familiarity, you're accessing old memories of that smell. And so there's a calming, there's a peacefulness, because the last times that you were actually smelling that brought some level of relaxation to you. No matter where you were you in church or the revival, you were in mm-hmm. a group of like-minded individuals who were coming to share in the joy of faith, God, etc. Mm-hmm. And so there's a calming, comforting feeling to that. So anytime you're remembering or feeling familiar with a smell, it's usually due to that memory that's stored in the gland of the brain.
Now, how many different, I guess, oils do you use? How many different types do you have in your, shall we say, repertoire as an anointer? And by the way, what is the title that you would give yourself as an anointer? Anointing practitioner.
I would call myself an anointing practitioner. Yes, that's what I do. I have a private practice in Ojai anointing people. And the ceremonies that I do when people come to me are actually really rites of passage. People come when they're ready to let go of old parts of themselves that no longer serve them. They're ready to deepen their experience, their expression, their relationship with the divine. And it's about a 4-hour procedure, and I use anywhere between 50 to 100 different oils on them, and they really get saturated with essential oils. And they're changed cellularly from that experience.
Now, someone's going to say, well, she used the word procedure. Is she? But actually, we'd be referring to more of a ceremony or ritual,
yes,
that type of thing.
It's a ceremony.
Yeah.
It's a rite of passage, a ceremony. Yes.
I thought sitting, and I've done this, I thought sitting in a sweat lodge was hard, but
this is bliss.
This is bliss.
This is bliss. It may be a little challenging. People sometimes go through different things when they're holding on to old patterns and programs. Mm-hmm. It may be a little uncomfortable letting that go, but always the reward at the end of it is going into mm-hmm. bliss, because you're reconnecting to that divine essential part of yourself, that part of you that is truly essentially love.
Who anoints you?
I do, every day.
Okay.
Every day.
So let me ask you say obviously you have more than 100 different oils that you use.
I have about 250 wow. oils in my
which leads
repertoire.
Me to which means leads me to believe that there are some that are rather obscure that most of us are not going to be that familiar with.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. Probably majority of them you're not familiar with.
I'm sure you use rose oil.
Yes, rose is probably, I think that's a perfect oil to be talking about on Valentine's
yeah.
Day, because rose is traditionally been used for love. As far as you can research it back, as far as recorded history goes, rose has been an oil that's been used to induce love. It has numerous health benefits as well, but my big concern is really the emotional and spiritual practices of it. And when you use rose, it really opens your heart. It takes you into that place of feeling love, of feeling compassion, of desire, amor. Amore. That's amore.
Well, now, in just a little bit, you're going to have me breathe in.
Well, let's have you smell rose right now.
All right. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story. I'm here with Allison Stillman, and her book is called The Art of Anointing. And you have the rose there.
This is rose. It's distilled from Rosa Damascena from Bulgaria. This particular batch happens to be the finest rose I've ever found. I've been using essential oils for about 35 years now, and I've traveled all over looking for the finest sources, and I think this is by far the finest rose I've ever encountered.
Wow.
And bear in mind now that it takes...
You were doing a little of the swirling.
When I swirl the bottle, it's to get the aroma, the fragrance, the molecules stirred up so that the actual molecule
happen, yeah.
of the plant comes out of the bottle, and it's much more accessible when you're smelling it. And a really interesting note, rose oil is the base note for a lot of perfumes, very high-grade perfumes. And just to give you an idea of why pure rose oil is so expensive, it takes 60,000 hand-picked roses before the sun gets too high so that the dew is still left on the rose to make 1 ounce of pure rose oil.
60,000 roses.
60,000 roses.
I'm glad I've handed that back to you.
You know, people, they don't really, once you get into this, of course, it becomes a passion. It certainly has for me. But when I first started looking at essential oils, I could never understand the cost, why they were so expensive. Most people get their introduction at the health food store, for example, and you'll find that a lot of the oils that you'll find in health food stores are fairly diluted, either with a carrier oil or sometimes even with solvents, so that there's just a small amount of the essence. It still smells fabulous. It's mm-hmm. great for any kind of inhalation therapy or for emotional work. But when you really want to do any kind of physical work, you want to work with a physical body, you really want a pure, organic essential oil. And most of these oils are really hard to find in a real high, pure grade quality. And so when you find an oil like this, you're going to pay top dollar for mm-hmm. it. It's
are we talking
be really expensive.
50 or 100 or more in that kind of in that context? Because obviously 60,000 roses.
Well, when you think about that and you think about how long it took to grow those roses and the amount of labor, you can understand why an ounce of pure rose oil, this particular rose, it probably cost you $300, $400, $500, depending on the grade. But
it's definitely worth it. That's so. I could smell a sweetness to it as well. There was a sweet undertone to the rose.
Well, this particular distiller who I buy this rose from, he distills in such a way, and he's created his own distillation units that are all made out of glass, and there is no metal involved. And so when the plant material is being distilled, it never touches metal. And so it never fractures any of the molecules of the plant material. So every component of the plant is kept alive in this bottle of oil. Mm-hmm. So not only does it have the ability to go into you and inspire love, rose has always been the symbol of love throughout history. And so when you go and smell the rose oil, it takes you into that remembrance. Remember, I'm sure you believe this, we've been here many, many times. Mm-hmm. We've had the experience of using rose oil. We've had the experience of giving roses to our loved ones, of showering our loved ones with rose petals, mm-hmm. of all the different rituals and ceremonies that you can find throughout recorded history of the rose being the symbol of love. So when you smell it, there's a remembrance. You've been there before. Mm-hmm. You've smelled rose. You know it's a symbol of love. So it takes you right into that place in your heart. Mm-hmm. Drops you deep into that feeling of love.
Yeah. And I was thinking too, pardon me, that the only place I can recall ever seeing a large quantity, I think I once took 2 dozen roses, and I actually hand-plucked all of the petals, put them into a bag, and I was able to, we were able to actually go to a hotel for the night. And so I made a bath and poured those petals into the tub. I don't know that the cleaning service was great, much appreciative of that, but nonetheless, it was a wonderful experience.
And why was it such a wonderful experience?
It was a combination of course, my wife and I being together, but also the fragrance, but also the colors. I used red roses, just that rose color, and then the feeling of the petals. It was wonderful.
It was very romantic,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Very much so.
Yes. And that's usually the experience that most people have with any level of experience with rose, whether it be the petals, looking at the roses. There's just this remembrance of it always being the symbol of love. And there's a reason for that. Yeah. It's the essential oil that brings it its color, mm-hmm. its fragrance. It tells it when to bloom. It tells it when to go to seed. It tells it when to go to dormant. The essential oil of a plant is really the soul consciousness of the plant. It's the lifeblood of the plant. It's responsible for telling the plant everything it needs to do in order to survive.
So if the rose, shall we say, is number one, and when we're talking here on Valentine's Day about romantic rituals and ceremonies for later today, tonight, this evening, what have you, and this weekend. Which is kind of nice that Valentine's Day falls on a weekend, so you can stretch this out for a couple of days,
perfect.
Folks.
Perfect. Work it.
What flower is number two? Or do we care?
I'd probably go with jasmine.
Okay.
It's just, it's a sweet, seductive, mm-hmm. full-bodied fragrance. It's traditionally been used for lots of aphrodisiac ritual and ceremony. You can read a lot about it in the poetry. Jasmine's mm-hmm. spoken a lot about in terms of inducing rose in others. So let's just have you smell some jasmine.
All right. Let me ask you while I'm doing that, if
yes.
I can. Tell
Let's
me about the energetics of these various fragrances, these oils that you have. And maybe start with rose. Maybe we'll focus specifically on rose in comparison to some of the other fragrances. What about the energy that comes from these essential oils?
Well, I could address it in a couple of different ways. One is that, of course, this is a little bit more scientific, but everything is made up of electromagnetic energy.
Mm-hmm.
So everything has a particular vibration that it vibrates at, or a frequency of movement mm-hmm. that the cells vibrate at. And that electromagnetic energy is what propels that. So in rose oil, there have been a number of different studies and tests that have been done with rose oil. And what they found is that because rose has the ability to transport you into a state of love or a feeling of love or a remembrance of love, it takes you into a higher vibration, a higher electrical magnetic frequency vibratory rate.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll feel your heart increase a little bit, or you may not feel that at all, but it's actually happening. Your cells are starting to quicken with the thought of love. Love takes us into the highest place that we can possibly go. It's that bliss, that ecstasy state that we go in when we're mm-hmm. in. Everyone knows yeah. what the feeling of falling yeah. in love is like. There's mm-hmm. nothing like it. It's the greatest elixir on the planet.
Yeah.
Well, rose essential oil can take you into that state in and of itself without even having to try. So it has a very high frequency. And when it's been tested with machines that actually measure electromagnetic frequency, it takes you as high as you can possibly go in the body. let's see, what would be another way of saying that? I guess really, truly, the way to think about it is that magical chemical moment when you fall in love
yeah.
and you're ecstatic and it's electric and nothing compares. You could go without food and water.
For
and
days.
Yes,
weeks.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think, too, in terms of your explanation of the energy aspects of the various scents, the fragrances, whether it's jasmine or rose, what have you. Think of it this way, folks. You're driving along, let's just say, State Street, and up along beside you comes somebody who has the radio turned way up, and the bass is turned way up, and their car is vibrating. And now you are vibrating. And that is a very uncomfortable feeling. I don't care what song is playing. It's uncomfortable. But this is now on a more, shall we say, a microcosmic level. When you inhale the fragrances of, say, rose or jasmine or whatever the fragrance is, and you say it has a particular vibration, what came to my mind was that, let's say, those memories in that place in the brain that you described before are also at that same vibration, those memories. And so that fragrance goes in, those molecules go in, that vibration goes in and calls out to those other like vibrations and pulls them forth. And those are the memories that come forth.
Right. Not only that, but it also affects you emotionally and physically and mentally
all
as well.
Comes up,
all
yeah.
of that comes up. Yeah. So you're being affected on every level of your being to take you back into that state of remembrance, that place where you were ecstatically in love, where you're just in that pure bliss state of being in love. And also, too, something else to think about. These plants have been evolving over time with us. Not only have we evolved as a species, but the plant world has evolved as a species as well. And it has the remembrance and the consciousness of knowing that it's been used for certain things.
Yeah.
For thousands of years, you can actually look at recorded history. Anointing goes back thousands and thousands of years. They've actually been able to trace, I think there's a cave in the Dordogne region of France where they've looked at the carvings on the cave walls, and it depicts using oils and herbs and plants for healing, and it shows these drawings of the people in that time in that region using plant material for healing. Goes back 18,000 years, those cave drawings. So we've been using plant material for a very, very long time for healing, for ceremony and ritual between family, friends, and loved ones, for rites of passage in the temples, all of the anointing ceremonies that I write about in my book. That's where all the church based their sacraments upon, were these thousands of years ago practiced ceremonies and rites and rituals in the temples.
Well, the next fragrance that I am thinking of as we are talking about Valentine's Day here on the 14th of February 2009 is that wonderful fragrance that most everybody knows, and that's of, I will use the derivative chocolate, but it's the cocoa plant. Do you use those types of oils, such as I was also thinking of vanilla, which I understand is for men, that is one fragrance that of many, but that's like at the top of the list. If they get a fragrance, that whiff of vanilla, I don't, something happens. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it triggers.
It's a wonderful sensation. I'll tell you what it is. They did a wonderful study at the University of Chicago. The Olfactory Research Center did this study. And they wanted to determine what smells were turned people on, that were their biggest aphrodisiac smells.
Mm-hmm.
And for women, it was rose and jasmine. For men, it was vanilla and cinnamon. And the reason for that is that it appeals to men's stomachs.
Okay.
Food, eating, cinnamon rolls.
As the phrase goes, as to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Exactly, exactly. Women are, men tend to be more physical based in nature, and the women tend to be more emotional based in nature. So the oils that influence women are the oils that influence the heart, loving, mothering, compassion, emotion. So it's really interesting. And time again, it was the vanilla and cinnamon that won out for men. So I'm going to just have you smell. This is a beautiful vanilla and temple mandarin. So I'm going to just have you smell this and see what you get. See if you don't want to have a cinnamon roll.
Or just want to go to a
with
bake
your
shop.
Wife.
Yes. Well, I will tell you that every time I come to the intersection of Garden and Figueroa, and it doesn't matter, and of course, if the winds are blowing right, I get this incredible waft of. I know there's vanilla in it, but this cinnamon, and there's a bake shop right there. I don't know the name of it off the top of my head. My wife does. She's born and raised here, but I just get it's like. I got to find this place. And it's right there, but they don't sell to the public. They cater, but they don't sell to the public.
And have you been traveling through airports before? And
oh, yeah.
The Cinnabon?
Oh,
that'll drive anybody to come in and
there has
eat
to be
there.
Something to eat in this bottle. I can.
So how does it make you feel just smelling it?
Well, you know, it's funny. It doesn't make me hungry, but it's like it's sort of it's charged my taste buds. My taste buds now want to taste something. You know,
right.
My stomach isn't necessarily saying put something in here, but it's more like I want to taste something. And so then that kind of goes to another one of the rituals, food rituals within this particular celebratory day.
Right.
Maybe chocolate covered strawberries or out to dinner with a fine wine and those types of things. Now, the wines in particular and spirits, that's a whole nother area, isn't it? Because certain ones will give off a certain aroma.
That's correct.
That triggers. Can you address that at all?
Not really, other than I love to drink wines. I am not a wine connoisseur.
Most everybody does in Santa Barbara.
But I think it's a wonderful gift from the mother. And
wonderful.
I think that the there is a parallel between the world of essential oils, the plant world, of course, but also the bouquet. The bouquet is talked about a lot when you smell wines. You swirl it and then you smell it and you talk about the bouquet of the wine. It's the same thing. We're doing the same thing with this bottle of essential oil. We're swirling it and we're smelling the bouquet of the oil. Mm. So there is definitely a similarity between it. And we could do a beautiful ceremony and ritual with anointing each other with rose and jasmine and maybe vanilla for the fellows. And then we could do some sort of ceremony along with a chalice of wine where we bless the wine. We put blessings in for our loved one and we share the chalice of wine. Yeah. We could incorporate some sort of ceremony along that for Valentine's Day.
I don't know that we incorporated that particular. Well, there were certain elements as far as in our wedding ceremony that Amrit and I incorporated, and we had our wedding in our backyard back in Phoenix. I built this big arch, and we had the little table. We actually purchased swords, broadsword for myself, and a more narrow one for her, which we still have. And we tied the knot and all these kinds of things. It was wonderful, and we used two silver chalices that we'd purchased, which we obviously still have to this day. It was extraordinary. There was, and for me, I'd been searching for a sword for so many years, and I wasn't sure why I needed to have one, other than I had been through a program back in Phoenix where they used the sword as part of the ritual for sort of declaring your place in the universe, as it was. And they left it in the sheath, and you would either pull it all the way out or halfway or whatever you wanted, and you would utter a statement, whatever that would be for you. And it was like, at that moment, I've got to have a sword. Don't know why, but I've got to have one. But those are the kinds of accoutrements, if you will, that we look for to have our ceremonies, the chalice and or the wine. And it's really funny. I've often thought, I'd love to find the wine that they serve if we're communing in the Catholic Church. And then I thought, you know what? If I could find that wine, it wouldn't be the same when I would then go to the church. So it's like, I will leave it to them and I will partake of that when I go there.
Well, and a lot of what makes that so special is that they take that wine and they consecrate it.
Yeah. They have a ceremony over the wine.
That's correct. And you can do that with anything. You can do that with your wine at home. You can do that with water. You can do that with grape juice. And what a consecration involves is invoking the presence of the Holy Spirit, divinity, whatever you want to call it, Allah, mm-hmm. God, the Almighty, whatever your term is for that divine supreme source. You invoke that spirit into the vessel of liquid that you have in your chalice. And you ask for that spirit to be present and bless it so that whoever imbibes upon that is then blessed and consecrated by that divine spirit, that divine source, as they imbibe it. That was the whole ritual of the chalices. That's where the chalice came from.
Yeah. Using those types of things, swords and chalices and these types of things in ceremony, just I guess it takes me back to whether I lived in those times literally or the movies and programs
Camelot.
I've seen.
Camelot.
Exactly.
Yes.
The Middle Ages.
The Knights the of
round
the Round Table.
Exactly.
Of course.
Just spectacular, those types of things. And let's get in as we continue, because I want to get into a little bit more about you, Allison, and that is how you got started. I mean, you say you've been doing this for 30, 35 years.
I've been doing it for 30, 35 years in this lifetime, but I have very distinct memories. I've had experiences where I've had past life remembrances, and I have done anointing and worked with oils for many, many lifetimes. This particular lifetime, I was actually studying with a spiritual teacher and traveling quite a lot, and I had been taking a class with a woman by the name of Valerie Warwood, who's a world-renowned aromatherapist. She's written many, many books, and I got to smell frankincense for the first time. And I had an experience where I went to the foot of the cross during the crucifixion, and in the midst of this classroom, I was at the foot of the cross and had a very profound experience. And when I came back into conscious recognition of being back in the classroom again, the woman next to me reached her hand out and she said, "Are you okay?" And the first thing that I said was, "I want to do anointing work." She said, "What's that?" And I said, "I don't know." And so I bought some frankincense from Valerie and I started anointing my third eye and the crown of my head with the frankincense. over the course of about 6 months or so, I started having these visions, and I was back in the Temple of Dendera, which is a temple along the Nile in Egypt. It was the home to the priestess. And they started showing me this ceremony that I now do. And they started telling me about oils. They started telling me how they use crystals, how they use sound therapy, and how people would come and they would have these great rites of passage with the priestesses. And about 6 months after having these visions, I was traveling in Mexico with my teacher and one of my now best friends, and I were sitting up late one night after meditation, and she said, I've been having the most amazing visions. I'm with these priestesses, and I'm in the temple in Egypt, and they're showing me about oils and crystals. And I said, you're having the exact same vision as I am. Mm. And we realized we were being given some great thing. And so we started putting people on the table and doing what we had been shown. Mm-hmm. And people started having such amazing, miraculous experiences. We were both completely shocked and awed by the experience. And so that's where it started for me. The anointing work started for me. Mm. And the book is actually inspired by many of the miraculous experiences I've witnessed from people who have come to be anointed over the years, and the little bit of research that's out there, which there isn't much about anointing. The only real source for any kind of written information has been the Bible. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that during the Inquisition, when people were still anointing and healing and using oils and herbs and things like that for awakening, that was pretty much eradicated during the Inquisition.
Yeah.
There was a long period of darkness on the earth where people were punished severely and killed for practicing any kind of art like that.
Yeah. So, now, do you use specific oils on different parts of the body as you're going through, say, this four-hour anointing ceremony?
They're not specific. They're really catered to that particular individual on the table. It depends on what's happening, what they're clearing out of their body, any kind of physical issues, and it's different on every single person, and it's different every time somebody comes back. Different oils will be used.
A very unique experience for each person.
Every time they come, yeah, and for each person, yes, absolutely.
It's funny how we seem to have started out, and I'm thinking several decades ago, and I think of education in particular, how, okay, this is the formula and the format, the pattern that we're going to use for every child that comes through along this assembly line called education. And now we're starting to realize, I think we made a mistake, because not only are boys and girls different, but every boy is different from every other boy, and every girl is different from every other girl. And so there's no one formula for that.
Absolutely. And in my book, I even say that I give lots of ritual ceremony for addressing health concerns, imbalances in the body, emotional concerns for each individual energy center of the body. And I also say that this is just a guideline. Mm-hmm. This is just a place to start. Once you start using essential oils, it really awakens your intuition. And your intuition is always the best guide. It will always tell you which oil to use where, what's the most appropriate oil to use for each individual in each circumstance.
Now, which is the most profound aspect of the oil? The fragrance of, say, the rose oil, or is it the oil? And how do those two interplay with the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies of the person that is going through the anointing?
The fragrance really works with the spiritual, emotional, and mental parts of our being. And the oil itself works on a more physical level. The oils are actually molecularly small enough to penetrate the epidermis, enter into the dermis, and then enter into the bloodstream, which then they can work their magic either through the physical or it's depending on what you're using it for again, but either to raise the vibration of a particular organ if it's not in a perfect state of health, or say you're looking to clear an old genetic program of, I'll give an example of alcoholism or addiction, something like that. You state your intention as you put the oil in, okay, we want to clear this old genetic program out of the cells. And the oils, being molecularly small enough to penetrate, will go in and they'll clean out the cells, if you will, of these programs, these old programs. Mm. that are in the body. So it really works more on a physical level, or it will go in and there are certain oils that have certain stronger components that deal with physical imbalances, those kinds of things.
So a person would get in contact with you how? Because that's part of what we do here is we want people to be able to connect and do more research if they want, or get a copy of your book called The Art the Sacred Art of Anointing. And the author is my guest, Allison Stillman. And how do we get a hold of you?
Well, I have a website called romancingthedivine.com. And my book is also available on Amazon. So that's a great place to find me and to find the book and get more information. And I have lots of information about anointing, my upcoming workshops, radio shows. I'll have a link to this radio show on my website. People can contact me via email on my website. There's a link there. So.
I've been to romancingthedivine.com. And it's a very nice site. Very pretty. I like the way it's set up.
Did you notice there were a lot of roses on Romancing the Divine?
I did. It's kind of hard to miss. if you're not looking, you still won't miss them.
To me, it's all about the love, and it was such a perfect time for you to invite me on the show, because that's always been fundamental in the way I live my life.
This program has been so fascinating for me because there have been a few guests I've had who have said, so what are you going to ask me? And they want to send me an outline, and they want to go through the long list of structuring it. And I say, we don't do that here. I don't have a clue as to what we're going to talk about. I mean, we could talk about essential oils. We could talk about the last sporting championship game that was just finished.
Great, by the way. First game I've watched in 20 years.
But even those are rituals.
Right.
Not just the games, but even the watching of the games. Because
Absolutely.
It brings people together. And even if we were rooting for opposite sides, the energy, the excitement, it was raised. But, you know, the one thing that I found fascinating was at the end, I didn't feel as though there was one winner, one loser. Maybe because I didn't have a dog in the fight, as they say.
Right.
Even though I'm from Arizona. But it was like, wow. They both came away with something incredible, and yet they challenged one another on this the field of battle, as it were. Whether it's I love baseball, but football has that more dramatic aspect to it. But they walked away with both of them being able to hold their heads high. We often go through life. We have certain experiences where, we're almost told that you can't walk away from this holding your head up. You were just shamed. You were just humiliated. You were just whatever it was. We can create for ourselves ceremonies that if we've gone through something like that, that we can reflect on that experience that others have told us, you must feel shame and humiliation, and say, you know what? I don't. It was profound. I got what I needed, what the universe wanted me to have, opposed to what my ego wanted.
And the truth of the matter is that we're not that experience.
Right.
So
that's the other aspect of it.
We don't have to hold on unless we choose to hold on to the experience.
Well, we're going to hold on and come back here in just a couple of minutes. I want to get a few more questions in before we wrap up our program. I'm Richard Dugan, and we are here with Allison Stillman, and she is the author of The Sacred Art of Anointing. That website, again, is romancingthedivine.com, and they can get in touch with you, your workshops, seminars, all the things that you're about as far as the anointing ceremonies, the four-hour ritual that you perform, and they can come out and take and participate in that. We're going to continue on here on our program. I'm Richard Dugan. This is the program Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay with us. There's more to come.
Trouble, but you know, empties out.
Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan here with Allison Stillman. And what was that fragrance that you just passed under my nostrils?
Here, you can smell some more. It's called Ylang Ylang.
Oh, my. That's nice, too.
Isn't that sweet?
By the way, I find it interesting that my wife has often asked me if I like the perfumes that she's wearing. It's almost as though instead of buying them because she likes them specifically, she's also asking me because obviously she's around me and doesn't want to offend. And she has found some that are just incredible. She's even made some from essential oils that have a nice, sweet, sweet scent to them. Before we were, and let me have you go ahead and explain. You were going to give a quick explanation of that one oil.
Well, I was just going to say you brought up a really good point. The reason the perfume industry has just exploded and is such a successful industry is that when you make a perfume and you find a perfume that you like, it usually is geared towards your mate or attracting a mate, mm-hmm. because we're creatures of smell. It's one of the first things that we do before we eat something or drink something is we smell it.
But you and I don't smell the same fragrance the same way either, and that's an interesting paradox in and of itself.
No, we don't. It depends upon our chemical makeup.
Yeah.
And the same fragrance can be put on you and put on me, and I guarantee you that it won't smell the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter who you put it on. It's always going to smell different because your skin's going to change the actual notes of each essential oil much differently than mine will.
Yeah. Let me ask you as we wrap up this program, once again, your book is called The Sacred Art of Anointing, and they can go to romancingthedivine.com and find out all about you, get in touch with you, make a trip out to Ojai to share this experience. Do you do, what's the word, do you make house calls?
I don't do the actual ritual and ceremony outside of my own home because I have so much that's involved in that particular ceremony.
And
but
you
I
have
do
the space
lots
energized
of,
and
I do lots of ceremonies and rituals for gatherings. I've done weddings, I've done baptisms, I've done house blessings, I've done parties where people come and they ask me to anoint everybody, not the full ritual that mm-hmm. I do with the rite of passage, but just a small intimate circle where we're anointing each other's hearts or do a small circle. So I do things like that.
One final question.
Yes.
You've been doing this for obviously a number of lifetimes, in this lifetime for quite a number of years. Why? Why does it matter? Why is this all that important? You could be doing so many other things that could be, I don't know, maybe more fun. Why this?
I don't think there is anything that's more fun. It's the most incredible thing. They become friends. They've become my friends. They're my family. But for me personally, forget the people that I work with, but for me personally, essential oils are a daily part of my ritual because they keep me in remembrance of who I really am. They keep me in a higher state of awareness, a frequency of love, and a state of remembrance of being a true spiritual being and that I'm only having a human experience. So I don't get so lost in the drama and the samsara of life and all the dramatic things that are going on in the world right now. I can stay in that comfortable little place in the center of my cushion.
I want to thank you again for joining us on the program. It's been a pleasure having you here on this Valentine's Day.
Thank you so much, and happy Valentine's Day.
And to you and your husband, and go out and have a wonderful evening of ritual ceremony, whether it's with or without the oils, but in your case, I know it will be with.
Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Allison's book, again, is The Sacred Art of Anointing, Allison Stillman. The website is romancingthedivine.com. Check it out. It's a fascinating website. Until next Saturday at this same time, we ask you to go out and have a great day. Find some new paradigms for making your dreams come true. Create a new world. And until then, my love and my adoration and my utter commitment to you, Lal. Until next Saturday.